Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in proud adoration. Praise to the Lord who are all things so wondrously reigning. Shelters the under His wings, yet so gently sustained. Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted in what He ordained? Come, we that love the Lord, and let our joys be join in a song with sweet accord and bust around the throne. Come we that love the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. Enter with hearts in accord. Acknowledge the presence of the one we adore, for this is the house of the Lord.
Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 afternoon Bible class, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the discussion, and there will not be a specific topic discussed. But it will be open question time. And so if you're listening on the internet and have a question, you can email that question in, or you can call area 408-779-2300 before 3:30 this afternoon, and that question will be addressed. And we encourage you then to, if you have a question, then to present it, and this is an opportunity to have it answered biblically. The there is in the parking lot a something called Christmas in August, a missionary project, and there is information in the parking lot. If you're interested in that and you're leaving today, there will be someone there to answer your questions. And we are distributing gift boxes to provide an opportunity to pray and to give our missionaries to our missionaries in a more personal way. And there's this insert in your bulletin. There will be a youth Bible study at the Tomlinson's home on Friday, August 25th at 7 p.m. And for further information, please see Pastor Tomlinson. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 70, Holy, Holy, Holy. let's continue our worship with hymn number 490, When Love Shines In. As we sing hymn number 393, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Standing for prayer. Father King David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And Lord, we do appreciate the unity that we enjoy together as believers here at Bethel Baptist. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that there is one God. His name is Jehovah. And we believe that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, who is God, to pay for our sins, things that we cannot do. He did it because He loved us. And we thank You, Father. And that's why we worship You in spirit and in truth. That is why this morning we open the doors of the church. We open the airways of radio ministry and internet ministry so that people can hear the praises, the reading, and the preaching of Your holy word. And so we thank You, Father, that You gave us this opportunity to be open here and there on the airwaves across the world. Thank You, Lord, because Your word will never return void to You. Father, we praise Your name this morning because we see Bonnie Hoffman and we see Donald McDowell back again and on the way to recovery. And we are thankful, Father, for seeing them in the congregation again. We pray for Loretta Forrest, who is not doing well and just having a stroke. And her mind and her heart are pure and wonderful. But her body is decaying, and we pray that You take care of her even to the last very second of her life. Father, we are grateful that Jack and Mary can have a good vacation, and they are at this moment in Montana, and we praise Your name that You protect them. Thank You, Father. As I remember, Shelley Dulillo and Mary Cones are already in college. And we pray that You put the umbrella upon their life, that they may do well, and that they may strongly work out her life according to Your will. Father, we have a great goal for the missionaries. In my heart and mine, I had $10,000 this year for the missionaries who, we have 10 missionaries now, and we want to give them $1,000 apiece. And so, Father, I pray, because this money is not going to rain, it's going to come from our pocket. And so, Father, I pray that we look deep into our pocket and we put the best we can so that we can say to these men and women who are in the mission field, thank You. Thank You that You are working for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Here is a gift from a church who is a giant in giving. Thank You, Lord, because Your people are good. Now, Father, also we pray for those missionaries of ours, for Fred and Carol Lewis. Carol is doing much better after surgery. Cole and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. Martha Foretti in Buenos Aires. South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Daniel flying from Wisconsin back home today, and Dante, Lore in Maruja, in Peru, in the Iquitos area, in the Amazon River. Lord, thank You that You allow us to present the Word of God here and bring the Word of God to those who are far away. And Lord, I pray ahead with thanksgiving for those who have committed themselves to be baptized this coming Sunday. 4 new people are saying, yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want the world to know that He died for my sin and He rose again. And so, Father, we are grateful that this year we had to have 2 baptismal service due to the fact that more people want to testify about You. How grateful we are for the offering You provide for us, Lord, through Your people. And so we pray that You bless them and bless the offering. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb who is the great I Am. While millions join the theme, I will sing, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. What wondrous love is this?
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Proverbs. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 389. We will be reading Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 23. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 23, the entire chapter. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are unstable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father and our God, we thank you for the wisdom that we find in your word. You have the words of life. By them we know what love is and not what the world says it is. We thank you for your instruction and counsel in the Scriptures, and know that to reject them leads to ruin. We thank you, Father, that you have not left us to perish in our own pollution, but have made us clean by the blood of Christ. Amen. Help us to abide in your word, we pray. Bless your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes now to proclaim the truths from your word. We thank you for the knowledge that any claim of truth that contradicts your word is not truth. Bless those listening also on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that they may grow in wisdom and knowledge in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. You do well if you open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. And this morning, our scripture for our meditation and instruction is on Proverbs chapter 5. I just want, in a general way, to tell you that there are a lot of books written about the book of Proverbs. And if you go to a Christian bookstore, the more likely is that you find the words a Christian psychology for living, and then a study on the book of Proverbs. Now, our studies, the general series, is the title is The Biblical Laws of Life. And I want to explain you briefly why. Psychology is a study of human behavior from a human point of view. But biblical studies and laws of biblical studies are the studies of the behavior that God expected from us from God's point of view. And I call them laws because they are not suggestions. They are not like saying, well, maybe work for some people, but will not work for me. These laws of the book of Proverbs will work for everybody. If you're in Africa, if you're in South America, if you're in Austria, if you're in Australia, wherever you are, these laws will work for you. These are not Jewish contemporary laws, like some authors believe. These are the laws of God for you forever until He comes. And that's the difference between psychology of the 1800s and the biblical laws of God from the very creation of the world. On chapter 1, we saw the law of knowledge, and the key verse was verse 7. And you don't have to remember all of these. At the end of the studies, I will turn a paper with you with a clue in every chapter so you will have it for reference. And so the law of knowledge is very simple. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You need to start with God. Usually you don't start with God in a university, no? You start with God where? In your home. Mama and Papa reading the Bible together in home, reasoning with the scripture will enlighten the heart of young people. Then in chapter 2, we saw the law of wisdom. And verse 1 indicated that we need to put in practice what we know. When you're going to make decisions, you think not what is best for you, but what does God want about this decision. Then chapter 3, the law of faith. Remember verses 5 and 6, very classical. You remember them. The key is lean not to your own understanding. Many times I talk to people and they say, from my perspective, I don't want to hear your perspective. I want to hear God's perspective. Lean not to your own understanding. Now, this only applies to a child of God. If you are not a child of God, it's very difficult to submit yourself to the Word of God. I will say it is impossible. That's why we have some people who call themselves Christians, but they are not. If you find yourself rejecting the Word of God in your heart, then you are not a Christian. You need to pray for mercy that Jesus Christ will come into your heart and save your life. Chapter 4, the law of life. Verse 23 indicated we need to live by the book. That is the law of life. You need to live by the book. All right. Now we come today to chapter 5. I want to tell you, it's a difficult chapter. A very difficult chapter. It is a chapter that talks about the law of love from God's point of view. Whether you are married, you are single, you are a widow, whatever you are today, this chapter is a jewel and is very difficult and is very tough, very black and white. This is God speaking as a holy God. So listen to what the chapter has to say. I'm going to go all over the chapter, verse by verse. One section of my talking to you will be the negative side of love. The negative side of love. You never thought that love has a negative side. Always we think of love on something, oh, love, yeah. You know, we think it's just something so floppy. But it's not when God talks. And then the positive side of love. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you a question. As many of you already answered that question. Those who are married 40, 50, 60 years married, 22 year married, you already answered that question. But I'm going to ask you a serious question at the end of the presentation. All right, let's just start. The negative side of love. Now, verse 3 tells me in Proverbs chapter 5, and verse 3 tells me that there is a forbidden love. Look at what the Bible says. For the lips of a strange woman. And a strange woman is somebody who is not your wife. It's not somebody who is a cuckoo. It's somebody who is not your wife. Now in Spanish, a cuckoo is somebody ugly. No, that's not a strange woman. All right? Look at this. For the lips of a strange woman drops as a honeycomb. Have you eaten honeycomb? It's just beautiful, that the heart. Have you familiar with bees and so on? You should, when child, you have your own honey box, and you know, you did all of this, and you have a honeycomb inside, and it's sweet as can be. It's the sweetest part that you can have, more sweeter than honey. Look at this. For the lips of a strange woman drops as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. All right? The original is really tough. The original said, for the lips of a seductive woman. Seductive women. So that is forbidden. When a woman approaches a man in a seductive way that is beyond a conversation, beyond a relationship of business and so on, a seductive woman just run away like Joseph did. Just run away. Because you cannot resist it. A woman is so powerful that you cannot resist it, man. Just run away like Joseph did. And that verse 3 said, there is a love that is forbidden. A woman who is not your wife or not your fiancé, a woman who is completely away from the relationship that God has created and trying to entice you in a seductive way. Please, the Bible said, run away. So there is a forbidden love. There is a sinful relationship. Look at verses 4 to 6. Verse 5 is the key. He said, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Verse 5 is the key. Verse 5 is the key. You need to foresee the end of history. And here I'm going to use a technique of psychology. There is a basic principle in psychology for your life. You make a decision. Then when you made that decision, you have taken a direction. And that direction will have an end. So we say the decision will give you direction. And direction will give you destiny. And that's what verse 5 is saying. Her feet go down to death. There is nothing good if you take the lips of a seductive woman who is not your wife. And I hope your wife seduces you. And your wife or your fiancé. Be careful. Because the end is death. It's a separation from God. It's a dead end, God said. So it's in your court. You have to take that decision. You're going to be approaching that way. What are you going to do? That's what the scripture said. So there is a sinful relationship that ends in end. The end is bad. It's death. Also, in the negative side of love, there is a senselessness about lust. There is a senselessness about lust. You need to distinguish when is lust and when is love. And it's not so hard. You don't need to go to college for this. You just need to watch television. And when these advertisements would, we were watching television in Spain. And to advertise fruit, a woman nude was in the television. I did not recognize. I was looking and something, reading for a football, trying to see the schedule for a soccer game. And my wife walked in the room and see these nude women on the television. And my wife said, "What is going on?" I said, "Yeah, what is going on?" No, tell me. You know, I look innocent, but I was innocent. I confess it. I was innocent. I said, and then I said, "Stay long. Let's see what it is. This is the channel." I dial to Germany to get the football game connection. And in Europe, the television is just so good. You just dial the phone and the channel will come in. And I said, "No, stay here." I said, "I want you to listen to the end. I'm glad that after they offer some oranges or something." I said, "My wife still question." All right. Now I'm going to read for you. Verses 7 to 11. "Hear me now, therefore." Now when the Bible says "hear me now," it's serious, don't it? Serious. "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." In other words, don't try to justify yourself. Don't try to make it different. Please listen to the word. Verse 8. "Remove thy way far from her." Remember what I told you? Run away. What Joseph did, you remember? He ran away. "Remove your feet and come not nigh the door of her house." I have stories after stories. As I counseled for 30 years in radio, I one time counseled an FBI agent who came to my office in Oakland, destroying his heart because once a week or every other week, he sleep with a prostitute, and he was in tears. And I said, "Well, run this story for me. You're an FBI agent. You know where this is." He said, "Yes." I get out, he lives in San Francisco, so he takes the streetcar and the door of the FBI, I don't know, I think it's in Gary, and he had to come from the back door into the place. He said, and as I walk in, there are girls all in different doors, and as you walk, they open the door and they grab you in. And I went in. I said, "Well, can you go one more block with the streetcar and then come from the other side of the street?" "No, but I like it," he said. You see what it is? It's not that he cannot stop. He like it. "Remove thy way from her and come not nigh to the door of the house." If you know that this is trouble, don't even talk to that person. That's what God said. Verse 9. "Lest thou give thine honor," and I explain this in a minute, "unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers or seductive women be filled with thy wealth, and thy labor be in the house of the stranger. And thou mourn or shame at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." Do not lose your honor. You read in 2 Samuel, in 1 Samuel, over and over, that David said, "My sin is always before me." He carried that sin to death. And you know what sin he talks about? He talks about the sin of Sheba. When he was seducted by a woman taking a bath, and a woman takes a bath nude, so he looked on it from his terraza on the top of the building. He liked it. He brings her in. As a king, she cannot say no. And then she sleeps with her, and out of her comes the beautiful Solomon. Only God can do that. Come beautiful Solomon. And he now kill her husband in war. With Lebanon, you think the word in Lebanon is a new word? David already was in war with Lebanon. He killed her husband, sent him to the front line and killed. And he said, let me know when he's dead. He's dead. And now and say, David, yeah, God said, David, the man after my own heart. David, the man after, don't trust yourself. If you are a believer, don't trust yourself, because a man after his own heart is able to do that, not only to take a woman, but to kill her husband, so that he now legally before the eyes of people, he can take it as a wife. Or the things we do, believers, when we are weak and don't run away from trouble. Do not lose your honor. Do not lose your honor. You never recover. We'll go with you to your bedside. So, you thought that today will be a great message of love and dancing, but it is a serious message of love. So, there is a forbidden love, verse 3. There is a sinful relationship, verse 4 to 6. There is a sinlessness about lust, 7 to 11. And then there is a shamefulness at the end of the road. Look at verse 12 to 14. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, not inclined my ears to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation of the assembly. I was with the believers, but I was full of evil inside. Verse 12 clearly said, I have the reproach of having disregard instruction. And how have I hated instruction? You know, I listened to the media talking about in the Congress of the United States, what can we do to avoid children being born out of wedlock and so on. And they said, well, we need to have instruction. What they say here, verse 12, how have I hated instruction? You can give instruction day and night about your life in the high school, and they will not get it until they are believers in Christ Jesus. Even when they are believers in Christ Jesus, they need to have a strong mama and papa who watch what the children do. That's what I did with Miriam. And then he said, I don't know how I married Miriam. Because I want to know every move when he came to town, what are they going to do, what are they going to be. And the parents were delighted. I put their son, and they said, there, watch eye, is my daughter, fella. Do I trust my daughter? Yes, but I don't trust the sinful nature of ours. So I had to watch it. And now he had a hard time to watch his girls. It's his ball game. He said to me, well, Jacqueline's going to go to the East Coast. He said, Danny, you go. You don't let your daughter alone in New York. You go. And so he's going to go with her. He comes tonight from Wisconsin, and tomorrow morning they apply for looking for a college someplace. But I tell you, that's what it is. You people disregard instruction, and then later on say, oh, yeah, they told me. And look at verse 12. My heart despised reproof. His own personality despised the instruction of somebody. That's the nature of mankind. Whether you are a believer or not, this is the nature of mankind. And we believers are supposed to have a new nature. And we do have a new nature. But we have the old nature too. And there is a battlefield within ourselves. And God is saying, when you violate integrity, there is a shameful end at the end of the road. Whew. I don't scare you people. You can get married. I don't scare you. I hope I don't scare you. But this is good. This is good. Don't fool around with your life thinking I can do whatever I want to. Don't. You can. God has basic biblical laws. These are no psychological suggestions. These are laws of God. Now, I had to end the service happy. All right, so let's talk about the positive side of love. And I know every husband, everyone's going to be so happy in this section. I know, I know. I used to read some of these verses to Raquel when I was her boyfriend. So a lot of memories as I read this. The positive side of love. Verse 15, the key verse of the chapter. The satisfying purity of merry love. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. What is the key word? On. 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 See that? Twice. Twice. That's the key word. In other words, Solomon is saying this. There is nothing more satisfying in the area of intimate relationship that to enjoy the purity of married love. There is nothing more satisfying than that. Some people said, well, this is Hebrew scripture. Well, let me read you European scripture, if you allow me to say. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, page 673. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 2, page 673. Now here is Paul writing to the Greeks who were their dominant empire at the time. These are the crown of Europe at the time this was written. And look at what Paul said to the church. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, to avoid a violation of God's law and intimate relationship, let every man have his own girlfriend. No. Why? And look at what the Bible said. And let every woman have her own boyfriend. What the Bible said? Husband. Also, works for today's generation. Look at this. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, to avoid an abnormal intimate relationship, let every man have his own wife. No another man, but his wife. And let every woman have her husband masculine, not a feminine husband. All right? God knows what he's doing. So let's go back to Proverbs. The satisfying purity of married love. You are single. Don't mess around your intimate relationship. You lost your husband. The Bible said in 1 Timothy, the younger widows should marry. Because they know you need a man. But don't mess around trying in your intimate relationship. That's what the Bible says. That's the law of God. All right? The positive side of love, the satisfying purity of married love. Secondly, the satisfying liberty of married love. Look at verse 16. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad. You know what a fountain is? When a woman is pregnant in Hebrew, the man will say, what a great fountain you have. Look into the belly. Maybe it's an insult to you in America. But in Hebrew, a husband is so proud when the woman has a big belly, he says, oh, what a great fountain I have. You know why? Because from that fountain comes the children. And look at verse 16. Let thy fountain be dispersed abroad. In other words, let your children move on and take over the country. That's what the Muslims are doing. They have children and children and children, and biblically they are doing right. Move on and conquer the country. All right? Look at this. And rivers of waters in the street. Now, this is a very biblical thing. The satisfying liberty of married love. Now, why people, I don't want to say I have a lot of children here. They have intimate relationship and they try to avoid to have children. Why? Because maybe they are no husband and wife. There are people that cannot have children for medical reasons, and they need to be cautious about it. But having children for a husband and wife is not a problem. Oh, you have to work day and night to feed them, you know, but it's not a problem. But when you are not married, why they do abortion? Because they want to cover their sin, and they make another sin bigger than the sin before. That's what we have at the Pregnancy Care Center in our church. A light in the middle of chaos. And look at, children is not a problem. Turn with your hand the pages of your Bible to Psalm 127, just to the left a little bit. 127, just a little bit. To the, so if you have 10 children, 12 children, that's an honor before God. You know, you have the children that God, you know, you cannot have children when you want to. God is the one who created, is the one who gave life on it. Look at in Psalm 127. Look at verse 3. Law, children are a heritage of who? Not of your father and grandfather, of the Lord, of Jehovah. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. When you are married and you have children, don't say, oh, I'm pregnant. You say, I'm pregnant, you tell your husband. Now you buy me a new car. You know, whatever you want. You buy me a new house. You buy me a new coat. You know, your husband had to do it because you are given the crown of the life of children. Look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children's in their youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver. Now we're talking about war here. Full. A warrior in the Hebrew, the word quiver, is the place where you put your arrows. How many arrows in a quiver? Anybody remember that? A quiver is a recipient of the arrows of the warrior. In the Hebrew, how many? 12. So you're not 12 yet, keep on. The satisfying of married love. Children are not a problem. Oh, in the sense you have to work harder. Each one of your children are different, don't we? And have different personalities. You don't expect all your children to be equal. God has made us all different. And they will react in a different way. But it's fantastic. Now, going back to Proverbs chapter 5, the satisfying unity of married love. Look at verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Now, that's fulfilling to me. When I met Raquel, I was 17. I met a lot of girls at 17. In South America, you cannot have the school, the high school, girls and boys together. The high school for the boys will be here, and one block away will be of the girls. Amen. So you... You see me all going around to the high school of the girls to see the girls. Until I met Raquel in a wedding. And I told her friend, I said, I want to marry this lady. It took me 7 years to convince her, but I married her. The women of your youth, verse 18, rejoice with the wife of your youth. All right? It's just fulfilling. Why? You're in Proverbs 5. Go with me to Proverbs 31, to the very end, and look at what a wife from your youth will do it. All right? Look at what a wife does for you. Chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? I mean, a woman who has the ability of having common sense. Who can find a virtuous woman? Some people are so... lack of knowledge, they want a wife that can dominate. You want a wife that can dialogue with you and tell you when you are wrong, so you avoid to be wrong in front of people. You want a wife who think and talk with you. Alright? Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Rubies is the highest price you find in Israel for jewelry. Now, verse 11. The heart of her husband, the personality of her husband, thus safely trusts in her. Why? So that he shall have no need of a spoil. She will do him good and no evil all the days of your life. That's a wife. That's a wife. who knows her husband's weakness and tell nobody about it. That's a wife. That's a wife you need. That's a wife that talks to you in private and makes you, put you in a corner and tell you like it is, but when she's in public, you are the best and you are the king. That's a wife. You don't get that from a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You don't get it. You only get it from a wife of your youth. So if you young people, if you marry young, think, I'm going to marry young to keep on being married for a lifetime. And when I select a wife, I want to select a wife, not a dummy. I want to select somebody who can talk to me, who can help me, because I need help. Don't think because you're a man, you know everything. You need help. Amen. All right. I'm going to remember Christ when you get married. All right. The satisfying unity of married love. And then, this is a difficult verse, verse 19. The satisfying constancy of married love. Look at verse 19. Let her be as a loving deer and a pleasant doe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all the times, and be thou intoxicated always with her love. You need to be intoxicated with your wife. It is not for Latins only. One time I was preaching this, and some people said, oh, this is because you're Latin. No. No. He said, you know, because always hugging Raquel, always, you know, touching my wife, always kissing her, persecuting her, even when she got to bed. And you said, poor lady. Yeah, that's what one pastor told. I told him, I'm just a tiger for my wife. And he said, oh, I said, yeah, not for somebody else, for my wife. The Bible said, be intoxicated with her. You know something? Satisfying constancy of married love. It's not just the honeymoon. It's not just the first 10 years. It's your lifestyle. You have a passion that never ends. It's not Latin. It's instruction from God's word. You love her. You know, I tell people I'm married to a senior. And my wife said, watch your mouth, you know. But I'm a senior also. But when I don't look to my wife as a senior. I don't look to my wife at her age. I look at her love and her passion and all, you know, what can I do to entice her and to get her excited? That's what I'm living for. That's the way you should be. As instruction from the scripture. The satisfying constancy of marriage. That passion of love never ends. Did your wife get fat or small? That's nothing to do. Is you and that woman that give her life for you, they still have tremendous passion together. The form of the body is going, look at me, I'm gordo, I was so skinny, nice mustaches. My granddaughters, they went into my records of my pictures of football and so on. I have a lock because I don't want to show up, you know. They say, what is this? And they see me like this, posting in the newspaper. And so they say, wow. I say, that's what your grandma got in love, see? And so Emma said, and what happened to you now? Your grandchildren are like that. But, you know, I hope my wife don't think that way. you get older and your body changes. But I tell you, your love will never change. The passion of that love should be expressed more and more. At 40, 45, I tell you, that was intense. At 60, more intense. At 70, more intense. One time, Raquel was my girlfriend, and my mama was, 60, Italian girl, very dynamic, my father. And she said, how is my, I talk about my father. And my mother said, oh, he is like 20 years old. So you are 43, said my mother to her. she shared that with me. You know, it is not that you are Italian or you are this or the other. You are in love. And you are in love for life. Now, what's the message? The message is very simple. What are you pursuing in life? Lust? Or love? That's the question. What are you pursuing with your life? Lust or love? If you are pursuing lust, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. Go to James chapter 1, verse 15, page 711. Page 711, James chapter 1, and verse 15. And look at what happened to lust. The Bible says in James 1, in verse 15, page 711, then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. If you are pursuing lust, you are pursuing in the territory of Satan, death. Death. Lust may have a physical reward or a mental reward, but the end of lust is death, said the scripture. Now, if you are pursuing love, you are in James, please go to 1 John. It's in page 719, chapter 4. You are not yet, those who study Sunday school, you are not yet there. John chapter 4. And let me read for you verse 7 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. So love is of God. Lust is of Satan. What are you pursuing in life? Watch it. Watch it. Are you pursuing God? You are in the right path. Are you pursuing Satan? You end up in death. Father, thank you. They are private life. Our most delicate part of our private life, the intimate relationship, is controlled and governed by the scripture. And thank you, Father, that you tell us to enjoy our wife and to enjoy the husband. You are not saying that married life is wrong. You are saying enjoy it, but don't disrupt it. So, Father, I pray that for all of us who are married, that we may enjoy our wife, our present wife. And I pray for the single people, that they may learn to choose lust or love. In Jesus I pray, amen.
Love is more than speaking words of eloquence. Love is more than knowledge can express. Love is not the fruit of man's intelligence. Love is not religious holiness. Love is more than feelings of emotion. Love's not just a nice sounding word. Love is more than human devotion. Love's the sweetest story ever heard. For love is always patient, loyal and true. Love will never selfishly pursue. Love will not uncover the wrong in review. Love abides when others are untrue. Can bear rejection and injustice. Love has faith when everything goes wrong. Love can face a million broken promises and the greatest of them all is love.
Anita has brought to our attention at the end of the song, there is faith, there is hope, there is love. Love is the greatest of all. And we have an example of that love in you, God. You love us when we were sinners. And now that we are saved, now that we have Christ in our heart, you never leave us in spite of ourselves. Oh God, what example of love you have for us. So bless us that those people who are married, they rejoice in the fact that they are married. And those who will be married one day will look forward to something that is in compliance with God's law. Oh God, thank you for the benefit of knowing ahead. Bless us. Empower our life. And if someone doesn't have Christ, oh Lord, I pray that such a one may seek in the scripture or through one of us, investigate, search out who is that Christ who gives new life. In Jesus we pray. Amen.